Book of Romans, chapter 4, please. What grace it is, what mercy it is to be blessed of God. In Ephesians chapter 1, we are told all spiritual blessings come by way of Christ Jesus the Lord. That's in verse 3. We are also told that there are those who are chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world in verse 4. And in verse 5, we see we were predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself. Oh, what mercy to be blessed of God. You know, we all have so much to be thankful for right here in this country of ours. In May, Brother Lance Heller is coming here from New Guinea. I cannot stress how blessed you're going to be if you can sit and listen to this man preach and then spend a little time talking to him about the world that he lives in and the differences of his world than ours. We have so much to be blessed of right here in this United States. God has been good to this country. Way more good than this country deserves. But nothing that we have today, the cars that we drive, the comforts that we have, even this building, and the warmth thereof, or the coolness thereof in the summertime, compares to the blessings of a holy God. To be children of a holy God. To be a people who belong to him. Who have belonged to him from before the world was ever created. If you belong to God, he has always loved you. There's never been a time, even before there was time, that the Lord Jesus Christ did not love his people. He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and that's a love that goes on. You realize that that means that everything that is happening up to this point in history has happened exactly for that reason, because God has loved somebody in that time. Everything that has come about from this country, the birth of it, coming across the oceans, wherever, every single drop of every point has happened because God has loved somebody in this country. He loved me. My parents had to be there so that I could be born. And everything that happened up until that had to happen for that very reason. It wasn't by chance. It wasn't accidental. It wasn't the Big Bang Theory. It's all purposed by God. And he's loved his people so much so that he sent his son to be our propitiation, to be our substitute, to pay our price, that we could be with him in eternity. Oh, what grace, what mercy to be one of God's people. We also read in Ephesians, because the Son of the living God, Christ the Lord, we have been redeemed by the shedding of his blood. What a most wonderful blessing it is to learn our state before a thrice holy God. To have it revealed to our hearts that we are sinners. Because to see Jesus Christ, you must understand that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. He didn't come to save the righteous. He came to save sinners. The gospel is fulfilled in and through our Savior, Jesus Christ, a thrice holy God. He who came to us when we were yet dead in trespasses and sin, we who were laying in our own blood and filth, the Lord walked by just as he did to that child who was left in the field, the one who was left in their own mud, in their own blood, in the mud. And he said, live. That's exactly what he does through the word, through the preaching of the gospel. He comes to us in our heart and he says, live. And if he doesn't say live to the heart will remain dead in trespasses and sin. Oh, what mercy and grace there is in being blessed of God. In chapter 2 of Ephesians, he says, he quickened. He gave life. We walked according to the prince of this world, living as others, fulfilling the desires of our flesh. We were but our very nature. We were by our very nature as others, children of wrath. But God, it says, God, who is rich in mercy, has a great love for his people, so much so that he sent his son to be their substitute. He provided himself our sacrifice, our scapegoat, our redeemer, our Lord, our king, our priest. Are you with me in Romans? Chapter 4. Look at verses 7 and 8. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. My title this morning is Iniquities Forgiven. You see, there was a time in my life where that word iniquity would not have been heard coming from my mouth. No, I'm a truck driver. Most of you know what that means, and if you don't know what that means, you're too young too, you need to ask your parents later, by yourselves. Truck drivers are real good at four words. That's an iniquity that I still have this day. I will not deny that. To be quite honest with you, all my sins I still have this day. I'm able to fight them a little better, but that's because I have the strength of God in me, the one who has convicted my heart that these are sins against God. And if I'm able to turn from those sins at all, it's because of his power in me. It's because he who has begun a good work in me will complete it till the day that he comes, till the day that he comes and takes me out of this flesh, this sinful flesh. This word iniquity is a strange word. It's one of those kind of words where you go, wow, it doesn't even sound good. Ice cream. That's a pretty good word. Sounds good. You know, iniquity doesn't even sound good, does it? If you were to tell somebody who didn't understand the English language, you have iniquity in front of you, in you, they might fight you back. If they didn't, you know, because just from the sound of it, it's like, oh, that's not a good word. What are you saying to me? Iniquity. It's a rather large word that, according to the Webster's dictionary, it means immoral, grossly unfair behavior. Here are some of the synonyms that are used to describe this big word, iniquity. It's, how about wickedness, sinfulness, immorality, evil, sinful, vileness, criminal, offensive, violation, wrongdoing. And that's just a sample. There's a list that goes on from that, even. A sample to give us an idea of what God's word is telling us when he says, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven. Do you see your iniquities? That's because God is showing you them. I remember a time when I didn't have any iniquities. I was a pretty good guy. And I've done some pretty rotten things, but I didn't think they were that bad. I didn't think they were that bad. Turn to Numbers chapter 15, if you would. No, I thought I was a pretty good guy. I hadn't killed anybody. At least not in reality. How many times have we killed somebody in our hearts just thinking, oh, if I could just get rid of that one. If I could just make that one go away. Do you know thinking sin is the same as doing it? Not believing the truth, the word of God. That's a sin. The God of all creation is a holy God, just as we sang a moment ago, perfect in every way. Are you with me in Numbers 15? Look at verse 30. But the soul that doeth aught willfully, presumptuously, whether it be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Meaning, in other words, if you sin willfully or accidentally, you're still a sinner. Whether you are part of or outside the camp of Israel, you are still a sinner, whether you've committed a sin, and shall be cut off from the people. Because he hath despised the word of the Lord and hath broken his commandment, that soul shall be utterly cut off. His iniquity shall be upon him. Now remember, I asked you a moment ago, do you have iniquities? Every single head here this morning went like that. And we said, the Lord is the one who's showing us that iniquity. That iniquity would be on our heads if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ taking that iniquity into the grave with him when he died. Now drop down to verse 32. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man. We're about to read about an example of how our God thinks of iniquity. Remember, he's holy. Now, what does that mean to be holy? That doesn't mean that you're some kind of a pretty good guy. You sit up on your little throne there in Rome, whatever they might call you, the Pope or whatever like that, you know. Doesn't mean that. Holy means perfect. There is no iniquity. And our God is so holy that he cannot even look upon what we are. It's a wonder our Lord didn't just destroy everything and start all over again, isn't it? But like I said, he has loved his people from before the world was. Everything was for that reason. To take care of those that he has loved. To provide a way for them to be with him forever in eternity. And here this man, while the children were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks on the Sabbath day. He's just picking up sticks to go build a fire. Maybe to keep warm? And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron and unto all the congregation. And they put him in the ward because it was declared that what should be done. And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died as the Lord commanded Moses. That is a picture of the cost of sin. The iniquities was upon this man, is that correct? That's what we all deserve, folks. Our iniquities are ever before us. Yet there is one, and this is the gospel, there is one who took the iniquities of his people upon himself. He was made to be sin for them, that they would be righteous in him. That's a story that can be told over and over again because we walk through this world in the flesh, which has its iniquity. I need to hear about my Savior over and over again because my iniquity is ever before me. This man was stoned to death for picking up sticks. Oh, how much I deserve to be stoned. Oh, how much I have earned the reason to be stoned for sinning against my Lord. That's why the gospel is such good news. All of our iniquities were laid upon Him. By His stripes we are healed. But only His people, only His chosen, only those for whom He has loved from before the world was. Let's not just pass over this too quickly and overlook what this man's sin was. He was working on the Sabbath. It wasn't just for picking up sticks. It was because he was trying to do something on the day when the Lord said, "You shall rest." Our Lord says to us, you and I right now, rest. Rest in me. Stop working for your salvation. Stop trying to earn your salvation. That doesn't mean to stop doing good things. No. We still want to go out and do the things the Lord would like us to do. We still want to go out and do what our God leads us to do. But don't do it to make yourself more presentable before God, because you cannot do that. If God looked down and saw anything of us, He would have to turn away. Just for picking up sticks, the iniquities were brought against this man. The Sabbath was a day of rest. Even the work of preparing your meals or any other type was proclaimed to be a sin. They were told to make their meals the day before. The people of God, and that's what Israel was a picture of, God's chosen people, remember? Remember what it says in the Lord's will? I've chosen you. You have not chosen me. And I didn't choose you because you were some big people, big nation. No, in fact, I chose you because you were the smallest, the weakest, the least of. They were God's chosen people, and one of the laws that was given to Moses was to rest on the Sabbath day. All that you might need for that day was to be prepared the day before. So on that day, there would be no works by the hand of men. This too is a picture of not mixing works of men with the grace of the deliverance by God. See, God declares that grace and works cannot mix. In the book of Romans, we read where if it's grace, then it's not works. And if it's works, it can't be grace. We're a sovereign grace church here. We preach that our God is sovereign over every little detail and that we are saved by grace. Nothing I can do, nothing you can do can earn you a right to sit with God. But what Christ did is enough. His grace is sufficient. Yes. Our works are iniquity in the sight of God. Our sin, our flesh is full of sin. But as I had said earlier, God has loved a people from before the world was. A people chosen unto salvation through the wonderful works of Christ, who is the Lord of the Sabbath. He's not just the Lord of the Sabbath, He is the Sabbath. The fulfillment of it. He is our Sabbath, our day of rest. We rest in His works. Turn over to the 51st Psalm, if you would. The people of God are brought to an understanding that we have nothing to offer God for our iniquities. We are broke, completely depraved of any righteousness in ourselves. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, according to the Word of God. And one must be perfectly righteous to stand with God. One must be holy as he is in the presence of the Most High. David, a man after God's own heart, knew this very point. And when sin had risen up in his flesh, he cried unto the Lord in the 51st Psalm, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Are you washed in the blood? The blood of our Lord Jesus. There's power in that blood, you know. The power of God. Perfectly cleansing every single one of his people. And if you're sitting here this morning and you're wondering, am I a child of God? Does the blood of Christ shed on the cross bring joy to your heart? Because that blood is so powerful, it has washed his people clean forever. When God looks upon his people, he sees that blood and he sees us as perfect as himself. Perfect enough to go to heaven and stand with him. Perfect enough to spend eternity with him and praise him and glorify the name of our Savior. Cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions in verse 3, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Praise me, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Notice what his cry was for. What did we read in verse 1? David cried out, "Have mercy. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Blessed is the man whose iniquities are forgiven." Well, how? How are our iniquities forgiven? Turn over to Isaiah 53. While you're turning there in Ephesians 2:4, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, hath quickened us together with Christ." Together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now let me read the 53rd Psalm for you before I go into Isaiah. "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and did seek God, and every one of them is gone back. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge? who eat up my people as they eat bread. They have not called upon God. They were they in great fear where no fear was. For God hath scattered the bones of him that encampeth against thee, that thou hast put them to shame, because God hath despised them. Oh, that salvation of Israel were to come out of Zion, when God bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. Blessed is the man whose iniquities are forgiven. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. You see, Abraham believed God, and righteousness was imputed to him. In Ephesians 2 at verse 8, we read, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." God the Father gave God the Son a people, and God the Son suffered their just reward, and God the Spirit is going about this very day with the day of his power, giving life to those who were loved with an everlasting love. Love from before the foundation of all creation. Who can resist the will of God? Who can turn the hand of God? I missed something, didn't I? Let's go back to Isaiah 53 and read about who and how. How can our iniquities be forgiven? In verse 1 of chapter 53, it says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Well, if you read chapter 1 of Ephesians, it's to all of those who were predestinated by God. Isn't that correct? Isn't that what it says? Yes. Those for whom were predestinated to be conformed to the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." How often have we heard the gospel before the Lord did a work in our hearts? I don't know about you, but I can look back into my life as a childhood, and my parents went to a church. And I know the man that preached in that church was a true preacher of God, because I've gone back and heard some of his teachings. O.C. Harris. He was a Sovereign Grace preacher when I was a little kid. But I never heard anything. It wasn't until the day the Lord prepared my heart to hear it that I heard his gospel preached. It takes the word of God. It takes the power of God to apply it to our hearts. I had no desire in him. My desire to be here and preach to you now is because of him. I want to tell you about my Savior because of him. I wanted to come here and hear the gospel preached because of him. My heart burns to hear more about Jesus because of him. I'm not any smarter today than I was before. If anything, I'm dumber. Because I know I don't know that much. Have you ever had your grandpa say that to you? Someday, you'll realize just how smart you're not. Takes age to come to that conclusion. I'm seeing it with my own children now. "He is despised," in verse 3, "and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." How are our iniquities forgiven? "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Blessed is the man whose iniquity is forgiven. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. Verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray and have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Not the whole world. There's power in that blood. And if all the iniquity of the world was laid upon Jesus, and I'm not saying it couldn't have been, because he's all powerful and could have done it. But if he would have done it, there would nobody be going to hell. Either that or how can you call him God? If God's blood was shed for somebody and they still went to hell, then that God is a failure. And the God of Scripture has never failed at anything. He was oppressed, in verse 7, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He took it because he knew it was the only way. It was his plan. It was his purpose. It was his love for you. God loved you that much that he planned to go to the cross for us, that he planned to die. God died, and he did. Just as Noah or Jonah died in the belly of that fish, our Lord Jesus died in the belly of the earth. And yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and the sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Our Lord Jesus was just as perfect as God the Father, just as holy as God the Father. There was no deceit in his mouth. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us. Yet it pleased the Lord. It pleased God. It pleased God the Father to bruise his Son. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. The blood was shed, and God is satisfied. Yes. He accepts us in his Son. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for their transgressions. Abraham believed God, and it was right, and righteousness was imputed to him. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. God the Father gave God the Son a people, and God the Son suffered their just reward. And God the Spirit is going about this very day in the power, giving life to those who were loved with an everlasting love, love from the foundation of all creation. Who can resist the will of God? Who can turn the hand of God? Oh, what it is to be blessed of God. What mercy, what grace. This is what is left for man if God is not for you. If God was not for us, this is what we would get. Luke 13:24, it says, strive to enter into the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Oh, how many there are in buildings just like this today, worshiping something. And I'm not talking about those who worship trees or snakes or whatever else they might come up with there in their imagination. I'm talking about those who say they believe and worship Christ, yet they deny the power thereof. We could be right there, just like that. Because there's a whole lot of them. Our Lord calls us a remnant. That's just a little teeny border that goes along the bottom of the dress. When once the master of the house has risen up and hath shut the door, ye begin to stand without and to knock at that door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. How many people knocked on the side of Noah's ark when the water got up above their heads? Water that they had never seen. According to scriptures, it never rained. The earth was fed with a mist of dew. Imagine the fear that was going through everyone's mind as they saw this box starting to float on the top of the water, knocking on it. Let us in, let us in. This is what's in store for those who are not in Christ. And I tell you this for this reason, folks, not to point at, oh, look, see what they are over there. I'm telling you, this is what we deserve. We deserve to be right there. Knocking on that door saying, Lord, let us in. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in the presence of thou, and thou hast taught in our streets. You go to these churches of Christ and you'll hear, oh, we did this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, we did that in the name of Jesus Christ. I quit drinking in the name of Jesus. I quit smoking. I don't cuss. I don't hate people anymore. I love everybody in the name of Jesus Christ. It's all I. You go into a church of God, the true and living God, and you hear, my Lord has done this. My Lord has done that. We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he, God, shall say, I tell you, I know ye not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. What do you trust in this morning? Do you have your trust in something that you have done? Even your decision to follow God is a gift from God. Dead men can't do anything. God must come to us and give life to us for us to follow him, or we will not. But if he does, he'll keep you in that love forever. Because he doesn't come and then quit. If God comes to one of his chosen, they'll know that love, and that love will be forever. What is it you trust in this morning? Is it something you have done, or does the event at Calvary, the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, does it cover your iniquities? Amen. Blessed is the man whose iniquities are forgiven. And Calvary covers it all. Yes, sir. Let's close with that song, shall we?